And welcome, everybody. Hello, this is Eileen Grimes, and I am the producer. I guess that's what I am, producer and host.
Stop trying to take my job.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. Oh, no. Anyway, yes, you are the producer. Anyway, so I'm on here today. This is the Jupiter Rising Show right here on KKNW Alternative Talk Radio. And this morning we have on Mr. Mitch Lewis. Mitchell Lewis is a fantastic astrologer from New York City. I'm staring at him right now on Zoom. And so we're going to be talking about a whole lot of things that are coming up in the astrology form. We have a lot of stuff coming up this week. We've got Neptune going stationary direct, and that's coming up on, I believe, Tuesday, but I'll check that with him. And then we have a lot of other things like eclipses and all that stuff. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot of other stuff, too. We always have a nice conversation when he's here. So anyway, and we're going to be talking today, the astro celebrity. I've found this. It's funny. I've been on the same sync with people when I picked out a astro celebrity, and I was going through names, and I just kind of, all of a sudden, Josephine Baker's name just popped up on front of me. I said, that's who we're going to talk about. You know, it was just some real magical thing. So Josephine Baker, who was an amazing star of the 30s and 20s. She was sort of the Art Deco queen, basically. She had unbelievable style. And she was a black lady who basically tried to make it here in the United States. Didn't do that well. Ended up going to Paris and making it over there. And she was very well received. She was literally idolized over there. And she tried to come back over here, and it didn't work out that well. It's really sad. But we're going to be talking about her chart. And so we're going to get done. We're going to start with that here in just a minute. But I'm looking forward to talking to Mitch about this because she has kind of an amazing chart. So anyway, we're going to take a break really quick. And when we get back, we're going to bring on our guest, Mr. Mitch Lewis, and we're going to have on Ms. Josephine Baker. This is the Jupiter Rising Show right here on KKNW Alternative Talk Radio.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Wherever you go, Alternative Talk 1150 is here for you.
Wow. Thank you, Nathan, for picking that song. She was kind of crazy all over the place, wasn't she? You know, hi, Mitch. How are you?
Hi, Eileen. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. Yeah. What did you think of that song?
I love Josephine Baker. I think I told you in our conversations, I used to play the piano many years ago in a club in New York City called Josephine's.
Okay.
That was not only named for her, but there were nothing but pictures of her. And
Wow.
She was quite an influential woman. And she was more than that. She was a spy for the Allies.
I know.
She was really quite a character.
Well, you know, that all that Gemini, I mean, that means how many directions did she go in, you know, basically? Well,
there's a lot to her. She got a great chart, as you know. Why, you know, we have her at June 3rd, 1906.
Right.
And at 11 in the morning, I told you some people put 11:30, but whatever.
Yeah, I found 11 a.m. on every place that I looked.
A couple of places I went to at 11:30. It doesn't matter. It's still a Virgo rising.
Right.
And she was, and Virgos are first of all, they're incredibly attractive.
Yes,
women
they
in
are.
Particular. Sophia Loren, Barbara Bach, Raquel Welch,
Claudette JFK
Colbert,
Jr.
All Virgo. Which who?
No, John F. Kennedy Jr. was too.
Well, yes, but he wasn't a woman.
Well, I know, but he sort of had. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
So my point being that she has. Because she's got Pisces on the seventh house.
Right.
The seventh house is how we relate essentially to others.
Yes.
The ascendant is what our mask is.
Yeah.
But the seventh house is partnerships. She's got all that Pisces energy. And she has Neptune almost exactly conjunct Venus.
Yes, I noticed that. That was really close.
Yeah. Incredibly talented. And it's in opposition to Uranus.
Yes.
So of course she was going to be unusual in her creativity. And that song was an absolute
perfect for, you know, the Neptune and Venus and Uranus all combined. That was that song right there.
That was great. But that she did a lot of that. Well, those were the early days of jazz, you know, and that's when people were. Well, you know, it's funny. A lot of Europeans, especially the French, took in many creative people who didn't feel comfortable in America or in England.
Yes.
Not only the writers of the 20s who were in Paris and writing all that great stuff, but musicians. And then after Buster Keaton's career ended, he's one of my favorites because sound came in and they didn't know what the hell to do.
Right.
His career went into a terrible slump for many years.
Right.
But they it's funny, quick little story. Oh God! What's the actor's name? Bought the old Buster Keaton estate. James Mason.
James Mason. Sorry, I was trying to imitate him. Go ahead.
Well, you know, he's in many. He was in North by Northwest.
Yeah, he was. He was in everything.
He bought the old Buster Keaton mansion.
Oh, really?
In the '50s, and I think it was the late '50s, and. At this point, all of Keaton's films had been lost.
Oh, that's too bad.
A few, the general was still around, but all his films had been lost. His entire legacy was gone. And James Mason pushes a button, and this hidden compartment slides open.
Oh, my God.
There's all of Buster Keaton's films.
Oh, wow. That's
incredible.
They took
them, and they saved them. They revived them. They put them on new film, started a whole revival for Buster.
Yeah.
He was in a funny thing happened on the way to the forum. He was in Ford commercials. He was in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And he toured Europe, mm-hmm. especially France, with a live show.
Interesting.
And they absolutely adored him. Wow. They thought he was the greatest thing.
Oh, that's. So, did you ever look at his chart to see what kind of
many
transits were going on at that time that he discovered this stuff?
Oh, that would be a whole show unto itself.
Oh, I'm sure it would. But at least Jupiter was in there somewhere, I'm sure. So
yeah, it's everything. You know, but these people like Josephine Baker or Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin or whatever, or Bob Dylan, their charts are quite amazing.
Yes, they are.
You know, it's not just, and very often they have very serious conflicts in the chart.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what forces them to work through all of this.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm just looking at his chart, Jupiter Sun conjunction. There it is.
Remember Buster?
No, Josephine.
Oh, Josephine. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Josephine.
Yeah, she's got a Jupiter. She's got a Sun, Jupiter, with Pluto conjunct Mars, with Mercury squaring the ascendant, with Neptune conjunct Venus opposite Uranus.
Yeah.
You know, Saturn squaring the midpoint of all of her Gemini stuff.
Wow. That's amazing.
So things didn't always go well for her.
No, it probably was slow in developing, don't you think?
Yeah, but she had staying power.
Okay.
Saturn, you know, when I do lectures about relationships, I always have to start off by saying to the audience, which are mostly astrologers or astrology students, you may disagree with some of what I have to say today.
Mm-hmm.
Because many people, when they look at what's compatible in relationships, they look at Mars and Venus, the sun and the moon, and those are good. Mars and Venus is good for a long weekend in the Hamptons. It's not going to last for 40, 50.
Okay, I just had my view of that. Never mind, you don't want to know. Anyway, so.
Well, the two most prominent planets that I find in long-term relationships, including John and Yoko, I mean, Charlie Chaplin and Una O'Neill, who were like 35 years apart, and they stayed together for the rest of his life and had 7 or 8 children together.
Yeah.
Mercury, which is communication.
Yes, of course.
Saturn, which is longevity.
Naturally. Yeah.
And without, if you don't have something to talk about,
after
you've done, you know, cha-cha-ing, what's the point?
Well, I mean, at least they have a decent conversation about just about everything, although it would be, you know, kind of interesting, try to navigate that. But the thing is, with the Saturn at the base, you know, it's like the foundation of that relationship is stuck in time. I mean, to the point where, you know, no matter what comes up, no matter what kind of conflict happens, they can get through it. You know,
remember, Saturn does better as you age.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I had a backup singer in my band many years ago, very young woman, probably in her late 20s, would be my guess at the time. And she was a Capricorn. and I was doing astrology even back then. Excuse me, I live on York Avenue. This ambulance has come by.
Oh, well, so that's just that you. Yep.
It's unbelievably annoying, but it's saving someone's life.
At least you know anyway, you live there. So
one day she shows up and she has put gray in her temples.
Oh.
And I laughed. I said, what are you doing? She said, I look in the mirror and it doesn't look right. Remember Saturn, Capricorn. And I laughed because I already knew, I understood astrology.
At least
not as much as I do today, but, and I laughed and sure enough, and, and it made her feel better.
Yeah.
By now, chances are good she doesn't have to put the gray in anymore.
No. But, I was thinking about this in the context of just recently with Saturn and Pluto going through Capricorn. And this was the advent, right around the time that it went into Capricorn, that's the advent of the going gray movement for women.
Mm-hmm.
And I started a group on Facebook called Going Gorgeously Gray. And it started off maybe with 100, 150 people. There's now 30,000 people in that group.
Great.
Yeah. That was from the Capricorn. Nobody was afraid to go gray. Everybody wanted to dye their hair gray, no matter how old you were, So, that is one of the things that we've been working on for the past how many years with the Pluto going through Capricorn.
I'd say since caveman days.
Well, yeah. But this is emphasized right now,
we put so much emphasis on youth in this system.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And as George Bernard Shaw said so perfectly, it's a shame that youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah.
We don't really appreciate it. We're too busy running around and carrying on. And then we get a little older and we say, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
If I could only go back again.
Yeah, I've had a lot.
I can screw it up a second time. But that's
well, you know.
So, Joe.
Yeah, I have those feelings, too, sometimes. But, I'll be 70 next year. What the heck? I don't even feel close to that age.
No, we're not aging the way that our grandparents.
No, we're not.
No, it's not. It's crazy. I have many clients through the years in the 90s. My mother's 96 and, lives in her own home. She recently broke her hip, so she's in rehab for a little while. But she can't wait to get back home and torture everybody, mostly me and my brother.
Yeah.
We really do not age the way we used to. I know people in their 30s who are old, and I know people in their 90s who aren't.
Yes, yes.
And it's got to do with attitude, but it does have to do with how well we take care of the body.
Yes, we do, yeah.
I always say if you take care of the inside, the outside will take care of itself.
That's pretty much right, yeah. And so, I'm finding out that there's I don't know how many people a day join that group, maybe over 100 join that group. I started that group in about 10 years ago. And somebody said, why don't you start a group on going gray, because I had already started to go gray right about that time. And I was also thinking of the Saturn and Capricorn. I says, well, no wonder I want to go gray. Okay, this is natural now. But, it didn't matter to me because my hair looked better that color than my original color. But there's a lot of stuff goes on with women when they're getting ready to do that. And that's why this group is together. They're all very tied together by the support that they give each other for moving from, the normal hair to gray, their hair color. And it's a big thing for them. It's huge, especially if they're all Leos, for goodness sake. But no, I've seen some of the women who've made the transition and it's beautiful. Their hair is just gorgeous. It's the way they're supposed to be, So
yeah.
It really is a real psychological thing that happens to women.
Well, it's a cultural thing, too.
Yeah.
Look, if you're in a business that is youth oriented, you may have to make a decision professionally.
Yes.
Started to go gray in my 30s when I was still running a rock and roll band.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And it was long before the Rolling Stones let their hair go gray. And so I had to make a decision while I was still performing. And I actually did color my hair for a while till I realized I don't want to put that poison in my body.
It changes the way your brain works, for one thing. Yeah, I noticed that it did that. And once I got it out of there, it was gone. So anyway, we got to take a break really quick here. When we get back, we're going to be talking more with Mr. Mitch Lewis about all sorts of good stuff. So this is the Jupiter Rising Show right here on KKNW Alternative Talk Radio. And this is a live read for Healing Energy and People by Wanda Buckner. And her searching for all sorts of present things that you're looking for to give to your people, your friends. Well, this is something you could give to her, to anybody who has pets. Okay, so if they have pets, they'll love a gift certificate from an animal communicator. And also a session with pet and people, psychic and healer. She's added all this, and I'm kind of going, wait a minute. Wanda Buckner. Wanda Buckner's sessions are 1 hour in length and include an audio communication, as well as clearing and balancing the animal's energy field to support their health and happiness. Sessions can be in person in Olympia, Washington, or at a distance anywhere. Go to www.wandabuckner.com and select the Book Now session so you can purchase a gift card. Gift cards do not expire, as we know. Again, go to www.wandabuckner.com or call Wanda at 360-491-3187.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to NewProSupplements.com, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 28th, it's an encore edition of Animal World. Tune in to hear my last show with Walter Stoffel, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, and the first show in my Teach You Everything I Know About Dog Behavior series. I'll pick up the series in January, so listen to catch up or to review so you'll be ready. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Conversation you won't find on the rest of the dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back to the Jupiter Rising Show right here on KKNW Alternative Talk Radio. I am your host, Eileen Grimes, and with me today is Mr. Mitch Lewis from New York City. And we're talking about all sorts of good stuff that actually was in relation to Josephine Baker. We got a little bit off the track, but it was still interesting. But, you know, do we have anything else we want to talk about Josephine here for a second?
Well, it's very powerful with Pluto conjunction. The ego knows no bounds. She was capable. Remember, it's always in astrology, it's the potential.
Yes.
The promise of the natal chart, not what the person necessarily does with it.
Yeah.
But she had a tremendously powerful will, which is why they couldn't push her around.
Nope. No, they couldn't.
A woman of color in those days, and had her own life. Not only was she a tremendous success, but like we said earlier, a spy and all those sneaky things. Tremendous, yeah. And the Libra moon,
Yeah.
And we love that Libra energy. Gets away with murder.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm charming. Okay.
I'm charming. I'm fine. But I do this stuff anyway. Yeah, so, that makes total sense, you know, and I'm thinking about her Pluto stuff and the undercover stuff that she was doing, but also her performances, which were very risque back in the 20s when she was top dancing without the top on, and, you know, and she was very aware of her own sexuality. I mean, really aware of it and how it affected people, and that's what she kind of used to draw people in, you know, and that's very typical with somebody who's got Pluto up there in the tent. That means they're going to do Pluto's work, as far as you know.
If you look at the chart in terms of houses, I use the Koch house system. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I do too.
This one happens to be my computer punched out the equal houses, but you've got the moon in the second house making money from the public.
Right.
You've got all these Gemini planets in the 10th house with Gemini ruling the 10th house.
Right.
And of course, Gemini ruling the 10th implies at least two careers at once.
Yes, or more. Yes.
Well, right. So she was not only was she a singer, but she was a spy.
Yes, a spy. Who knew?
I don't know. Again, it's equal houses, so I'm not sure about the squared and the ascendant. But anyway, so this is a very powerful chart, very unusual. And she got to live out, I think, into her late 70s, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I'm also seeing the Jupiter next to the sun, which means she ended up in another country other than her birth, which was France, you know, and she stayed in a place where she felt welcome. But also the amount of Gemini in there, man, she had how many kids? She adopted 12 kids, It was just incredible.
Yeah, some incredible number of children. Yeah,
yeah, she adopted them all, and you know, the kids that were not taken care of, she just pull them off the street and brought them in the house. You know,
yeah.
And also, it seems to me that her, I think she maybe even educated her kids. Wouldn't be surprised with that Gemini going on. You know, to always have a book reading that she's reading, or several books at the same time. You know, she's
well,
very
as you know, Geminis tend to be intellectual. They aren't
tend to be, yes.
For example, I don't think Bob Dylan's ever read a book. I'm kidding.
No, but
Dylan has a plethora of Gemini energy, and he is, of course, the only songwriter to ever win the Nobel Peace Prize for literature.
Well, see, so, now that makes sense. You know, so it's. You know, when you have this much going on in Gemini, it means you're going to be in all different directions at the same time. Anything that supports the development of the intellect is for sure is what she was
interesting,
doing.
By the way, Paul McCartney's book of his lyrics just came out. It's number one on the New York Times bestseller.
Oh, June 18th, 1942. Okay, right. Oh.
And it will be probably for quite some time, I would assume. Yeah, it's quite remarkable how the, you know, well, for at least a generation, the poets were in music.
Yes,
know?
That's
and,
true.
And it's, you know, and they, again, they're not going anywhere. I saw a clip of Mick Jagger, I think in L.A., performing. I was absolutely blown out.
Yeah.
They keep their voices in shape. I don't care that what you think about them, and they're old and they do drugs. I think they exercise 7 days a week. They probably eat fruit and vegetables and they meditate.
Right.
And,
you know. Well, you know, Mitch, he had he was a Leo, obviously. He had a third house sun with Pluto next to it.
Yeah.
So you have that kind of configuration. You are given extra strength. You are given superpowers. If you
want
to put
stuff, Pluto doesn't like to give up. You know, they don't. They're not going to walk away. You gotta.
No, I mean it's going to pull you to pieces. So it makes you really get who you are. You know,
that's why when Pluto comes along, you know, we warn our clients: be prepared for power struggles.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
not there to hurt you. They're there to teach you how to have power.
Exactly. That's right. You know, and. Here we're looking at her chart, and when we look at other people's chart who had a Pluto sun, you know, and almost all, I have a Pluto sun in conjunct. God, I don't know why I got that one, but you know, what the heck. But it's interesting because you people that have this extra zip going on. There's something going on that's more powerful and profound for them. You know,
I have a Mercury Pluto conjunct.
That counts.
And when I lecture, boy, you know, and when I sang, I always had a big voice.
Oh yeah,
I had to learn how to draw the audience in through whispering and
yes.
softly.
I can hear that.
I could be a Broadway, you know, that kind of stuff.
Really?
So you want to talk a little bit about what's happening in the world?
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Well,
we have a couple minutes here before we have to take another break, Joseph. I just want to tell you. Okay.
Whenever you just let me know.
Okay, I will.
We are in the middle of an eclipse period, as you know. We had a full moon eclipse on the 19th of November, 27 degrees Taurus.
Yeah.
In exact square to America's moon.
Oh.
27 degrees Aquarius.
Yeah.
And the new moon eclipse on December 3rd is 12 degrees Sag, exactly on America's ascendant.
Oh, my goodness. So we're really getting kicked around right now. Wow.
And what's happening in our country, of course, I mean, first of all, you know, the new variant of the virus.
Omicron, yes.
Come on. This is what happened in 1918 to 1921.
Yeah.
Viruses mutate.
Yes, they do.
I don't want to get into the politics of it, but if everybody got vaccinated, maybe these variants wouldn't arise.
That's
whatever.
True.
I don't, you know.
That's true.
And so we are dealing with this terrible tug of war where health has become a political issue.
Yeah.
I mean, it always was. And we don't want to talk about health care.
Yeah.
But this is just, you know, in my opinion, a little wacky.
Yeah.
And we are dealing with two trials recently that have tremendous power in our collective.
Mm-hmm.
The Rittenhouse acquittal,
yes.
And then the convictions of those three. And the fact that the Taurus eclipse squared America's moon, while I don't look at one aspect as being creating world events, it's much bigger.
Yeah, you have to look at everything.
Everything has to be in contact.
Yeah.
And I'm putting together a webinar now called America in the 2020s.
Wow.
And I'm going to be looking at America's chart and Biden's chart and Harris's chart and Trump's chart and, you know, the New York Stock Exchange and everything, and connecting all of it. But some of these quick moving events like eclipses or even a Mars or Mercury square or something is the trigger.
Yeah.
And we certainly saw this square trigger two results.
Mm-hmm.
The Rittenhouse case was more political.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, we could, I don't want to waste time arguing about what the prosecution or the defense should have done.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an indication that the rest of this thing is coming down the line. It hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, we haven't even seen our Pluto return yet. We're just on the edge.
Next year.
Pluto takes more than a weekend to complete.
We know that. That's what I keep telling people.
We've been advancing towards our Pluto return, literally, in my opinion, for a decade.
Yeah, or more.
Not just, well, in some ways, since the Second World War.
But, yeah,
you know,
if
you want to go back that far. Look, there are also astrologers who work with the eclipses. One of my favorite financial astrologers, a guy named Bill Cerulli, Meridian. And Bill and I have become friendly through the conferences and whatnot. And I sat through a lecture that he did about the cycles of eclipses, some of them 100 years.
Yeah, I believe it.
Not just, you know, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And it really was a fascinating article. We tend, astrologers, especially if we're doing mundane astrology, world events, to look at the immediate and through a microscope. And sometimes you have to pull back and look at the much, much bigger picture.
Yeah, you do.
Is what I'm hoping to do in the webinar.
This kind of brings up a thought for me. We got to take a break here just a second. Right. But it brings up the fact that almost every sort of major sort of thing, like an eclipse or whatever it is that happens in the sky, it has to have a longer impact than just that one event. It has to. Because I've seen how eclipses are tied to way in the past and way in the future. You can see how, and the same stuff is being worked on at those times. So it would.
Well, they're linked to not only to other eclipses.
Yes.
But to planets, especially outer planets, who either conjunct or oppose that point.
Yeah, exactly. That
and it could be 5, 10, 20 years later.
Yeah, something that stimulates that point to vibrating again. So,
do we have 1 minute before we go to break?
Yeah, we have right now. We're going to go to break.
Okay, go to break. When we come back, I want to mention something.
Okay, we're going to be right back here with the Jupiter Rising Show right here on KKNW Alternative Talk Radio.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcomed Pam Osley, author of Infinite You, for a discussion about the unseen world and our personal vibrations that result in the colors of our auric fields.
On Saturday, Jake Cooper is back to impart more lessons drawn from higher consciousness to enhance practical living. His near-death experience as a child was a life changer.
Bringing you mastery and mystery since 2007.
We are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk AM 1150.
Wherever you go, Alternative Talk 1150 is here for you.
And welcome back to the Jupiter Rising Show right here on KKNW Alternative Talk Radio. And my guest this morning is Mr. Mitchell Lewis, and we're talking about eclipses. We're talking about everything. So let's get back to the eclipses. The one that happened several years ago that was sitting somewhere smack in the middle of Trump's chart, that was August 21st. It was a full eclipse, and I remember all the lights dimmed outside. It was just wild. You couldn't see an actual blackout, but it was like all, you know, all the frequency or how much of the light it was emitting, it toned way down for a few minutes and then went back up, you know. But, you know, we're all saying that he's going to either die around then or going to have something really bad. Nothing happened on that day.
That's not what always happens. I mean,
yes.
And that's one of the problems with astrologers, if you will, is that everybody wants cookie cutter astrology.
Yeah. They want to have it now.
Astrology. Yeah. I do a lot of medical astrology. You know, I've been working on a book for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems I have with it is that it's not the same way that the body isn't cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
In Western medicine, I always joke and say you got a doctor for your left foot and another doctor for your right foot.
Yeah.
That's not the way the body works.
Mm-hmm.
Medical astrology does not work that way either. Venus rules the kidneys, yes, but the kidneys interact with the bladder and the gallbladder and the liver and this and that. And you have to learn how to see it and the interaction of it.
Right.
So Trump may have had an eclipse occur that had an effect that wasn't noticeable mm-hmm. at that time.
Right. Right.
It may have been set off by another planet coming to that same point.
Yes, it might have been. Right.
Look, Donald Trump is unquestionably running for president in 2020.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Unless he's literally dead or close to it. He's
yeah.
been raising money. He has never stopped running for president from the second that he lost.
I know.
And he's going to do it, and he's going to pull the Republican Party along with him. And based on what happens in the 2022 midterms, which is the most frightening charts that I have.
And the Pluto return.
Well, it's all combined. But not yeah. just that. We talked about Neptune earlier. America has Neptune opposite its Neptune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's happening now. Neptune is about to go direct, by the way, the date of the Neptune
December
direct.
1st, right?
No, that's the, it's, December 1st, Wednesday.
Yeah.
At 8:22 a.m. my time here on the East Coast, not West Coast, so it's 5:22. When Neptune goes direct, when it turns around, it then begins its opposition to Neptune.
I see. I got it. Okay.
It doesn't have to be exact. This is, again, something it's hard to teach astrologers because right. they want to be able to predict exactly.
Yeah, well, you can't with the outer planets.
So. No, nor should you try. That's not the point.
Why bother? Just give a general theory or approximation, but, you know.
But America has a Mars-Neptune square in its natal chart.
Oh.
Very, very close.
Oh,
and Donald
so
Trump's
sense.
Full moon eclipse and his natal chart sits exactly on that Mars
oh.
and squares the Neptune.
Mm.
So Donald Trump works with the fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Mars-Neptune creates. And it can be very, very, any aspect can be used positively or negatively.
Yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
if you're born with an aspect, you know, forget about it.
Yeah.
Look at FDR's chart. My God, what a mess. He managed to have a career,
yeah.
even though he was paralyzed in his 30s.
Yeah.
From polio. He was elected president 4 times, has the most complicated, most difficult chart you ever saw in your life, and he didn't care. It fed him.
The difficulties fed him. Yeah, I understand
so
that.
So we have this Mars-Neptune square, and America is a very fearful place, at least has been.
And of course, Trump has Mars in his 12th house, so you might as well say that's the same thing.
He's got Mars. Well, this is why people who give me the other birth time for Trump, I say to them.
I know. But
Mars is not in his first house.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah, because he acts it out so much.
His eclipse sits exactly on the Mars and squares the Neptune. And so he worked with the fears that America has in its underbelly.
Right.
And that's how he got elected.
Right.
Well, in 2022, on the midterm election day, Mars squares Neptune exactly on America's Mars-Neptune square.
And that's
it sits on Donald Trump's eclipse.
Okay, that means something.
Well, there's a lot more going on that day. I don't want to get into it too much now. You can watch my webinar. I'm going to cover it all.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But there's a full moon on election day with Uranus conjunct the moon and the sun conjunct Venus. It's such a messy day.
Yeah.
I can only tell you that I fully expect there's going to be lawsuits, maybe violence. It's going to be a horror show.
Yeah.
And it's going to define America for the next decade, several decades.
Yeah, it will.
It's a gerrymandering.
And when does this happen in juxtaposition of the Pluto return?
Well, the Pluto return is just about exact then. Hold on a second.
April, something like that next year?
Well, again, I mean, I don't believe that a Pluto return happens on a day.
Oh, that's true. But in approximation, in near vicinity of.
Hold on 1 second. I wasn't expecting you to talk about the elections. Election Day 2022. On Election Day 2022, Pluto is 26 degrees, 20 minutes. America's Pluto is 27 degrees, 32 minutes.
Okay, so it's right in the neighborhood.
It's going direct, it's applying, it's going to complete. I think it gets 27 degrees in June.
Okay.
2022. June and July and all the way through. So we are sitting right on the cusp of a huge battle.
Yeah.
Look, I wrote on Facebook the other day, I said they had a protest in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Where the election was, and several hundred people showed up. I said, why didn't 5 million?
I said five. A few hundred? Oh, that's not much. No.
I mean, come on. You know, it's because the Democrats they need a PR person. They need to get it out there. They need somebody who knows social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I was thinking about that. I mean, especially changing the subject a little bit with the Neptune going direct next week. It's right on my sun within a degree, and it goes station on that degree. I hope I'm still alive after next Wednesday.
Not going to kill you. Neptune doesn't want you to die.
I know.
We're going to torture. It's like being in an abusive relationship. You don't want the other person to die.
I know. I don't really have a death wish. I'm just being silly. But you know, I was trying to figure out a few months ago when this Neptune transit started, what it feels like, and now that it's getting closer, and I'm probably making this up because I know it's getting closer, so I'm adding a lot of stuff to it. But I've never really experienced the kind of confusion that I have constantly, but also my psychic abilities have gone off the chart. Just everything.
I don't think you're making that up. I have found that to be true with Neptune transits forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does make you more susceptible to infections, and you need to be careful.
Yes, I know. Yeah,
I won't get in an elevator with people who don't have a mask on.
Yeah,
I wait for the next elevator. I'm sorry.
Well, I had a booster shot a few weeks ago, and I got really sick from that for about a month.
And so you mentioned on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm fine now, but it took my blood sugar off into the stratosphere, and it's back down now. But you know, I realized that was all a part of that booster thing that I got.
It's a complicated thing, Eileen. People talk about the, you know, the vaccines and the vaccine. I love this one. I have I know somebody who's looking for an apartment. Person said to them, why would you buy an apartment now? Another year from now, millions of people are going to die from getting the vaccine. Then you can get whatever apartment you want. I said, okay. Welcome to planet Earth. You know.
Yeah, right.
It's not going to happen like that. But is the vaccine going to prevent this new variant? We don't know.
You don't know.
On Friday, the stock market, the Dow dropped 905 points.
Yes, I know, because of the new variant that's out there.
Of course. And it's going to continue. It's probably going to be weak for a while. However, unemployment numbers are at a 50-year low.
Yeah.
People are spending money like crazy. Yeah. They are buying everything from Macy's and Amazon and any place they can get the crap.
You know?
So here we are in this very complicated Neptunian place.
Yeah. And I'm
what's real and what isn't.
Exactly. And I'm sitting in the middle of this with my Neptune transit. Thank you very much. But it's nothing but confusing for me. But it's also incredibly enlightening, too. And I also feel as though I had thought I may be moving a couple of years ago. Something happened where I was living, and then this came up the second time with the middle of a Neptune transit. I said, I don't care. I said, somebody's talking and it's not me. It must be Neptune. I really didn't care. You know, I figured it's going to work out whatever it works out. You know, it's 3 months away. What the heck? You know, and I'm noticing I'm reacting differently to things right now with the Neptune transit.
Neptune doesn't care about your material stuff.
I know, you know, but it's.
But this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, my dear. Look at that.
That's true.
You're never going to have this experience again.
No, I know.
As long as you keep yourself healthy and you pay attention to your nutrition and your sleep patterns and your exercise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I changed my whole diet a few months ago. I don't eat any processed sugar because I'm diabetic. I just don't do it anymore. And my weight started to go down, which was interesting, but also my energy changed without the sugar in my diet. Amazing. It was an amazing thing. I wish I'd done it years ago.
Sugar is one of the biggest enemies. In fact, many years ago, it was the sugar industry that lobbied and spent a fortune trying to convince people that fat was the enemy. Anything that had fat in it.
Right.
So that people would ignore sugar.
Right.
I have had clients come to me. They have a child who's in school who's doing terribly, and they're having a hard time focusing. And I look at the kid's chart, and I say to the parent, you have to get this kid off of sugar.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I never thought about that. And then they come back to me 6 months later, the kid's doing great.
Yeah, exactly.
Got sugar out of their diet.
Yeah. I just did a write-up for a really cool piano player, my favorite piano player. I do astrology for him. And I'll tell you who it is. It's Bruce Hornsby. Anyway,
I love Bruce.
I do too. He's a sweetheart. Anyway, I met him one time and he asked me what my chart was about or what his chart was about because I wanted his birth information. He says, well, send me something on it, what you find out. And I go, well, okay. You know, four planets in Scorpio in the fourth house. Okay, third house, I mean. Pluto right on the ascendant. You know, you're talking about a Plutonian chart pretty much. You know, which is right up my alley when I wrote about it. But so I wrote him his birthday was last Tuesday. So I wrote him a write-up and also a write-up on his brand new granddaughter who he just had about a month ago. And he really loved it, you know. And I also realized, I've been kind of resisting doing my book on stationary planets. And I'm just giving you a personal roundup here. But I decided, when I wrote the Bruce thing, it took me a whole day to write up 10, 15 pages, single spaced. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. I said, well, if I can do that, I can write this book. You know, I could actually get quite obsessive about it. So that tends to happen to me when I'm doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I have to be very passionate about what I'm doing. So anyhow, I've got to take a break here. When we get back, we're going to be talking some more about other stuff with astrology. This is the Jupiter Rising Show right here on KKNW, Alternative Talk Radio. And this is a live read for Susan Bergstrom, the Medicare Exchange. Susan Bergstrom is a licensed agent in Washington and Oregon, helping people obtain security in their lives by providing insurance that pays for their final expenses and money for transitioning after a loved one dies. Now, remember, right now we've got the open enrollment thing going on with Medicare, so it's a good time to get a hold of her to figure out what that is. It ends on the 7th of December. So you can basically say, and I must have to also mention that a lot of the ads you see on TV completely misrepresent the entire Medicare process. The only way you can get a full, honest assessment is to talk to someone like Susan in person who is an advocate who is always looking out for the best plan available to you. Open enrollment, again, ends on December 7th. She's going to be busy until then, but she'll be able to see you afterwards for your Medicare coverage and contact Susan if you need any assistance. You can contact her at Susan Bergstrom, the Medicare Exchange, and then also her phone number, 253-318-9379 for an appointment, or you can contact her at her email at sbergstrom@americanseniorbenefits.com. This is Eileen Grimes of the Jupiter Rising Show, and did you know that I do private astrological readings? If you have issues or problems in your life that plague you, perhaps an astrological reading would be just the ticket. I've had more than 30 years experience in astrology, and there isn't much I haven't seen, so I know I can help you. You can contact me at 206-816-0546 or go to eileengrimes.com to make an appointment. Thank you very much, and I'll see you soon.
An alternative to everything else on your radio dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
And thanks very much. I'm just like I'm starting in mid-sentence. Welcome back to the Jupiter Rising Show right here on KKNW Alternative Talk Radio. We do have on Mr. Mitchell today. It's the Neptune. Pardon me. I think I should just put a caption over my broadcast and said, this is Neptune inspired right now. So it's all coming out weird. So Mitch Lewis is on, and he's talking about all sorts of good stuff today. So what do we want to talk about next?
Well, the eclipse that we had on the 19th at 27 degrees Taurus sat exactly on the New York Stock Exchange's sun.
Oh, and that's like why it plummeted almost 1,800 points in those 2 days, right?
Yeah, but, you know, people say to me, oh, there's a stock market crash. And I say to them, listen, first of all, stock market crashes are very rare. Second of all, every time the stock market crashes, what do the rich people do? They buy it. It's the middle class that panic.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, sell, sell. They sell at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
There were some crashes, of course, that were quite severe. One was in, well, it was a double crash, 1929, 1931. 29 crash was deep, and the 31 crash was five times deeper. And talk about cycles. In 1907, we had a stock market crash and a recession or depression for almost 2 years.
Well, that's right after the year after Josephine Baker was born.
Well, maybe she created it.
Brought it in here. Maybe she made it up. I don't know. Okay.
No, there were reasons why. I'm not going to get into them right now. It had to do with money and gold.
Yeah.
But the stocks went down severely and they hit a point. In 1931, when the stock market crashed, it went right down to the bottom where it had been in 1907.
Oh, wow.
And then it bounced from there.
Okay.
Because the stock market has a long memory. People don't.
Yeah.
You know, we got things to do. Got to feed the dog, got to do the laundry, whatever.
Yeah.
The markets think and reason, so to speak, in this way. This is why technical traders will give you support and resistance and things like that. Anyway, we are at a point now where I don't think we'll see a stock market crash. I mean, I think we're seeing a correction. It's very, very overheated, and eclipses will often do this. But I've also seen eclipses do just the opposite. They will run, the markets will run right up against this.
Yeah.
But Pluto is in square to Saturn and Neptune, and Jupiter, and the Neptune too. So there's a great deal of pressure on the stock market right now. And unfortunately, the stock market has a lot to do with everything that we do.
Yeah.
You want to buy a new house and the stock market is down 10, 12%. You may not have the money. You have margin calls. Your 401k is shrinking. You know, you also panic, so you don't want to spend anything. And so people respond to the stock market much more than they should. But that's one of the reasons why we had the collapse, so to speak. There wasn't a collapse. 1,000 points in a 26,000 Dow is not a collapse.
Yeah.
In 1929, I believe the market dropped 40 points.
Yeah, right. Only for, that's right, proportionally speaking.
Of course.
Yeah.
Percentage-wise, it was huge.
Yeah, right.
So when we look at, oh, my God, see, a market crash, 1,000 points, and then 2 days later, it goes up 1,000 points.
You know, it's always the media that does this. Always, to some degree, that are over-dramatizing everything. So
that's what they feel their job is. They're in show. They're not in the news.
Yeah, tell the truth the way it is. God.
Well, you know, as we often say, where's Walter Cronkite when you need him?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a good idea. Yeah.
But I wonder, you know, even back then, what were they telling us and not telling us?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, we respond. One of the mixed blessings of social media is, first of all, an awful lot of crap is put out there. And how do you, filter your way through?
That's right. How do you filter it out? Yeah.
But it does give a voice to anybody sitting on their, you know, in their couch in their underwear that wants to say something where they didn't have it before.
Right.
Now, that is a mixed blessing, of course, and we're seeing it throughout our society.
Right.
Well, eventually, things are going to have to become, I don't want to use the word regulated because that has a very bad connotation.
Yeah, it does. Something, like something else is in control besides us.
That's right. And they're going to, they are going to take control. And
right. Uh-huh.
But when you're looking at something like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
What I call it. Where.
Oops.
There it is. Flipping violently. Well, Bitcoin was created right when the 08-09 crash was. It has a Saturn Uranus opposition in its natal chart. So it is by nature erratic and unpredictable.
Right.
And what's going to happen, in my opinion, or what, not what could happen, is that if Bitcoin collapses, it can take down the entire market.
Yeah, it will. I have so many people invested in it.
Right.
Yeah. And they're going to overload it.
And Bitcoin is not, I love it when people say to me, the dollar is going out of business. Bitcoin is the future. I say to them, what's Bitcoin trading at? 65,000. I say, 65,000 what? They say, what do you mean? $65,000. I say, exactly.
Yeah.
If there's no dollar, what do you think Bitcoin is worth?
Yeah. Right.
It's absolutely foolish.
Yes. It's, anyway, it's not worth anything.
Of course it's not.
No.
But the only reason that fiat money is worth anything.
Yeah.
I give you a picture of Benjamin Franklin. You give me a new pair of sneakers. Why? Well, we agreed.
Yeah.
We're all playing in the same monopoly game, and that's what we say it's worth. And so
yeah,
the government, so to speak, backs it. And you got to remember that currencies trade in what they call a basket.
Right.
The dollar is only worth what it's worth against the yen, the euro, the British pound,
right,
the Australian dollar.
Yeah.
And they all trade back and forth, and they have a logarithm that that allows for what it is worth relative to the other currencies.
Right.
Cryptocurrency isn't traded against anything.
Yeah, it's like in another universe. It really is. That's what I've always thought about it. I heard about it the first time. I went, that's stupid. You know,
look, I wish I had bought it a year and a half ago. I'd have my house in Miami now with my own swimming pool and my own alligator.
Well, that would be
nice. But I wouldn't buy it at $65,000.
No, I don't think so. I don't think many people would, except the real.
It's a very, very erratic thing. But anyway, all of this is interconnected. That was my point when we were talking about medical astrology or about interpreting a chart or anything else. It's all interconnected.
Okay.
You got to take a break?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we're just about done, actually. Oh, okay. I hate to say it. We could probably go on for another hour with this.
Absolutely.
Yes. We'll have to
do. I love chatting with you.
Oh, thank you. I love chatting with you, too. It's awesome. Sometimes I don't feel very smart, but, you know, it's but I get so much from you. I got a Saturn
house. That's that Neptune talk.
Yes. Saturn in my third house opposing Mercury. That's my insecurities with, you know, I don't sound very smart.
And yet I find that Saturn Mercury aspects make the person focus. And they make them very brilliant.
Oh,
maybe they don't
you.
Want to stand up and, you know, in front of a million people and say, blah, blah, blah. But it focuses your brain.
Yes, it does focus it. Highly focuses it. So awesome. So listen, darling, I'm going to probably see you in about another month and a half here on the show. We're going
to
have you on again.
Find me.
Yes, I do.
You want to give me my website?
Yes, we do. Why don't you go ahead and tell people what it is?
Okay. The website is MitchAstro.com. It's also, as you know, JupiterRising.com.
That's right. Thank you very much.
You and I met because we were on Facebook. And you said, Jupiter Rising, that's my show.
Yeah, that's right.
But Mitch Astro is easier to remember. And my email is MitchAstro@AOL.
That's right.
I have the damn AOL forever, and I don't want to give it up.
Yeah, me too. At least 30 years. Yeah, exactly. Right. So thank you, Mitch, for being on the show, as usual.
My pleasure. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Also,
thank you.
One more thing, if I have 10 seconds.
You have 10 seconds.
I have a new murder mystery. I'm just editing.
Awesome.
I have a series called the Starlight Detective Agency series about an astrologer detective. And the fourth book is just finished.
Good for you. That's wonderful. Thank you so much again. Come back
Take
on
care,
soon. Ethan. Okay. Bye. Yep. Okay. So now we've got a couple minutes here. We're going to say hi, goodbye. No, we're not going to say that yet. In order to get a hold of me, you can contact me at EileenGrimes.com or JupiterRisingShow.com also. And then also next week we have on Mr. Michelangelo. I can't wait for this show. This is going to be interesting because we're doing a composer that is very well known, but is very interesting. And his name is Igor Stravinsky. So we're going to be talking to him. He's done a lot of research on him. So it's going to be an interesting show. So let's see what else we got. Oh, yeah. I have the horoscope column on Mondays at noon. The latest one will be posted for that week. That's at 1150kknw.com. Go to the first page. You'll see it right on the front page. So anyway, how much time we got? We got 1 minute. Okay. All righty. Let's see if anything else I have here. No, I don't think so. But make sure you come back. Oh, by the way, let's see. The following week, we don't have anybody scheduled, but we will by then. But on the 18th of December, we'll have on Jackie Slevin again. She's wonderful. Love to have her on. And so, yeah, this has been a good show with Mr. Mitch Lewis. He's fabulous. I find he's so brainy, it's hard for me to talk to him, you know. But I'm catching up with him. Anyway, so that's it for me. This is the Eileen Grimes Show. No, it's not. It's the Jupiter Rising Show right here on KNW. And we'll see you next week. Bye.